Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What's up, everybody? Thursday morning in the District of Columbia, and we have a packed radio program for you. I'm JP Finley. He's Brian Mitchell. Combined, we're B. Mitch and Finley. At 10:30 a.m., 30 minutes from now, Joe Buscaglia from The Athletic covers the Buffalo Bills. We'll join the program as we continue our deep dive into the Washington football team's upcoming 2021 schedule. 11:45, Fred Katz from The Athletic will join the show. We got to figure out what the hell is going to happen with the Washington Wizards now that Scott Brooks is out. Who's next on the list? Who do you want to be the coach? We're going to take your calls after we talk to Fred. 1 o'clock, the segment you wait for all week, Bleep You Thursday. Anybody that's wronged you in the world, you can call in and let us know. 1:30, Peter Rosenberg will join the program.
I got Playoff P told a lot of people bleep you last night, didn't he?
And the Philadelphia 76ers said bleep you to their fans.
They said bleep you to themselves. And hell, you have a 20-point win, lead, and then you lose.
That Sixers like that. Collapse was unbelievable.
MB missed two free throws. Come on, man.
Unbelievable. And, dude, so I tweeted last night after that game, and everybody has kind of agreed with me all along on this, that the Sixers aren't a title team. They're just not. Even if they end up coming back and beating the Hawks and winning that series,
I don't think
they're beating the Bucks or the Nets.
Yeah, Bucks, period. Nets, and then when they get into, if they were to get to the what's called, I don't think they'll win nothing there.
They're not beating Playoff P or the Jazz or the Suns. They're just not a title team, and they've had a good season, and good for them. But to choke like that, good God, that was bad.
It was a choke. I must say it was a hell
of a choke. Up 26.
Yeah. It got me happy because, I had the Hawks, so I was happy.
I had the under, so I was happy. The line, I think it was 222, and they only came in at 215. That's a good win here. But nobody thought the Clippers were going to win with Kawhi out.
Yeah.
They showed up, man.
Hey, who's the better twin, Marquise or Marcus? Marcus!
Not the one we had.
Yeah, no, not at all. He damn sure couldn't shoot threes like that. And then Bogdanovich, man, he can show knockdown threes when he's not on this team.
It's remarkable how much better players get when they leave Washington.
He couldn't get a shot.
But Paul George had heard enough.
Mm-hmm.
He had heard enough.
I saw people apologizing.
Did you stay up for the whole game?
When they got into the fourth quarter, I think he had like 7-8 minutes. I said, this game is over. They're going to win it. Because every time you could see, and then Donovan Mitchell wasn't having a great night.
No.
And if he's not
Paul
having
George
a great night.
Paul George had 37-16.
Yeah. 37-16-6. Yeah. And I just felt that if he's not playing well, they don't have a chance. Gobert started to play good down the stretch, but ultimately it's just, every time it looked like Utah could make a run, Marcus, boom, here come Paul George. They had it going last night.
Yeah. And they have become my title pick. Obviously the Kawhi injury complicates things, but if they play like that and they shoot like that,
well, listen.
Drop 119 without Kawhi
Paul
Leonard.
Paul George, we could say what we want. Paul George is a star in this league because he's one of those guys that plays both ends of the court. And I think ultimately if he can play like that, they have a chance. But the thing that it has me concerned, why the hell hasn't he played like that forever? If him and Kawhi play like the way he plays, I don't think, even with the three stars in the Nets, I think I'll – the Clippers would be the favorite if they play like that.
Yeah. I mean, what's the bigger story for you from last night? That the Sixers choked everything away, or that the Clippers were able to win without Kawhi?
I'm going to say that the Sixers choked that away. Because I think ultimately, if Paul George play like that, they always have a chance. And then Marcus Morris has been playing well. But when you're up like that at home,
yeah,
and then you lose, listen, I know people here don't like Philadelphia.
I don't.
But if you can, tune into some of their radio today.
Oh, God.
And listen, we talk about how people could be on players here. I guarantee you they're roasting them today.
Roasting.
Completely.
Roasting.
You know, it's probably a funeral going on up there.
So we talked, and I played golf yesterday, and in our text thread, you very correctly predicted what would happen to me on the back nine, where my game completely fell apart.
Hold on.
And it may have had something to do with Tito's consumption.
What are you on right now?
What am I on right now?
Yeah. Your job. What are you, the radio show?
Yeah.
Didn't I say you were going to shoot a radio station?
You were correct. I mean, listen, that's why I wasn't betting with you either, though.
He called me. He said, I shot 108. Then he hit back and said, no, it was really a 107. Okay, what's the difference?
Either way, you hit the over was 106.7, and you hit it.
I made no bets. Like, it was the first time on a very challenging course I fell apart on the back. But so I had a couple vitamin Ts, and I'm at home. I ordered a pizza, which was banging. And I had that game on. I had the Sixers-Hawks game on,
uh-huh,
but I was kind of fading. I was like, man, this is a blowout. Like, I'm not going to stay up for the next one.
Uh-huh.
And I'm kind of just watching the end of it. And I was, texting with a buddy, whatever. And I was like, oh, wait, the Hawks are kind of coming back. I'm like, they're not going to come back. They're not going to come back. And then they cut it. Once you go from 26, you get it to single digits. I'm like, they're going to win.
Because it seems like when you're in anything where you are the favorite, and then all of a sudden it's late in the game, and you're not winning like you're supposed to, and that other team starts coming back, all that pressure goes from them to you.
Totally.
And
especially at home.
Ben Simmons, who had been hitting some of his free throws, all of a sudden, I remember when Trae Young fouled him and started giving the hand signal like the shooting the free throws, he clanks both of them.
Yep.
Okay? And then Joel Embiid gets up there, he clanks both of them. Ball game over at that point.
Yep.
Because your stars can't make plays. You have a guy who's a point guard on your team who's going to touch the ball every damn series, every play. And he can't shoot free throws. Yeah, you know, you heard Hack the Shaq, the big men with the big hands.
Big men, right.
Who can't shoot. But you never heard doing this with a point guard.
No.
Because the point guard is the guy who's supposed to be able to take care of the ball, knock down some of my free throws.
You saw it a little with Westbrook this season. But you're right. Like, your guard, your number one overall pick that's a guard has to be able to shoot free throws. And I mean, it's a joke how people try to defend it. Like, oh, well, you know, he does so much other stuff well. They're free throws. You got to make them.
Yeah. Hey, look, free. F-R-E-E.
Right.
And yes, he could do a lot of things well. But I tell you this, if it comes down to it, and it's a crucial situation, his ass going to be on the free throw line. And I don't know anybody that would put money up to say, I'll bet you this, he's going to make it. He might bet against himself.
It's like me knowing I'm going to shoot a higher than 106.7 on the golf course. Like, I'm not betting against it. I think I can get my game back into shape.
106.7, the fan. You shoot that yesterday. You shot past that.
I knew that was coming.
Well, you know, rounded up to the nearest 10, so you shot 106.7.
So, something fun, and I don't even know if you know we're doing this. We're giving away tickets to your golf tournament next week.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. Does this mean, like,
a position to play?
Yeah, like a spot.
A spot, yeah.
If we're selling tickets,
I'm like, damn, we're making money on the
If we're selling tickets like to B-Mitch's golf tournament, I'm taking 10% of that because I don't know who wants to show up and watch me play golf.
I'm starting to realize you just like 10%.
Perhaps. I wish I shot 10% less. But we'll have to come up.
That's not in your future.
We'll have to come up with a fun way to do this. I don't know how we'll do it. Maybe Landfill has an idea.
Okay, how about we can figure out something. I'm going to come up with something from, like, the college days.
So two spots to be Mitch's golf tournament. We're going to give those away today. There's a lot to discuss. Our friend Ben Standing from The Athletic had an interview with Ron Rivera. We're going to play some of that audio a little later, which is really pretty interesting about Ron talking about the quarterback situation. Mm-hmm. How many pictures you got to sign today? I don't know that people are aware of how much mail Brian gets to the studio.
Well, someone sent me one of all the teams.
Oh, that's cool.
A picture from every team you wanted me to sign for.
When you went to Philly and to New York later in your career, was there anybody wearing 30?
When I went to Philly, there was a guy wearing it. When I went there, they had like the off-season program. He had on number 30. And when I signed and I went back, number 30 was in my locker. He had 33.
Really? Who was he?
I forgot. He didn't make the team. And then when I went to New York, nobody had it. But they when I went there, they were like showing me the numbers.
They were ready to give you 30.
Yeah.
Got it. That's always interesting.
Although I did not like number 30 when they first gave it to me. I thought it was like, that's a trash number.
Oh, here, when you got to D.C.
I wanted number one. And they were like, well, you're the emergency quarterback. Okay, well, you say I'm the emergency quarterback. I could get number one then. Well, emergency quarterback means I'm a quarterback, so I can get number one, can I?
Well, and
now they're letting people wear number.
Like, you're not like an argumentative person at all, so I can only imagine it was just you didn't try to make your case over and over.
I just never thought I would be wearing number 30. I wore number 11 in the 8th grade and then number one from 9th grade all the way, and I just thought I could get one of those numbers like that.
It takes a like legitimate alpha male to want to wear number one, and I can totally see you wearing number one.
Yeah,
we got to get T-shirts made with that.
Deion wore number two
with your picture
Louisiana. Desmond Howard in Wisconsin. They always gave people number two there too, but number one is the number down in Southwest Louisiana. That's what I'm saying.
Desmond Howard wore number one,
number two when he was at Michigan. Didn't he wear number two? Everybody that the top players were number two there, I think.
I thought he wore 21.
Is it 20?
Desmond Howard wore 21.
21? No.
I think Charles Woodson wore number two at Michigan.
21?
I'm looking at pictures right now.
Dude, that's not a good number.
He was juicy at Michigan, dude.
He was.
He was fun to watch.
Yes,
indeed. I'm pulling up his college just to be sure, but I'm pretty sure he was 21 at Michigan. Remember when he flashed the Heisman?
Yeah, that's right. He did wear 21. But they give it now. The number two is the number they give to a lot of people at different schools when they're that guy.
Charles Woodson at Michigan wore number two, and he was that guy.
He was that guy in the pros.
Yeah, is he in the Hall of Fame yet?
Yeah, this year. I think he goes in this year. Or
does he go in this year? That is a no brainer that he's going in.
Cool dude too, man.
Who does he go in wearing?
You don't go in as somebody in the NFL. In the NFL, you just have a bust. The other leagues, you go in with like
a hat or a jersey or whatever.
In the NFL is just a bust. So it's not necessarily you're going in as anyone. They're going to say that he played for da-da-da-da, everybody. So
I think of him as a Packer, but plenty of folks think of him as a Raider.
A Raider.
Now, he was on that Raiders team that went to the Super Bowl and got hosed by the Tuck rule, I'd add. But he won a Super Bowl, I think, with the Packers, the Rodgers team that won that Super Bowl. Yes, Cody.
He's a guy.
You want me to put this on here, Landfill? Why?
It'll sound better.
Okay. Is that better?
Much. Yes.
You can hear the difference.
Yeah. See, the thing, this is what you have to understand. You talk on the radio. You talk on TV. You write. When people tell you the technical side of it, just say okay and go along with it. You don't know a damn thing about the technical side. Landfill does.
I completely agree with you.
But you don't.
My
ever
only
just
counter.
Say okay.
Sure. My only counter. The only reason I asked, I didn't know if you wanted me to do it now or wait till the break. So now we can tell everybody what we're talking about. My mic didn't have like a, what do you call this, a windscreen?
Mic condom.
Yeah. It's the reason JP's sounded like that the whole show.
Yeah.
Because I'm breathing.
You almost said Twitter.
I would never say. I would never say 2012.
But now you sound better.
All right, well, good. But so my one thing was I wasn't sure if Landfill wanted me to do it now or in the break. But my second thing is you don't know either. That's all I'm saying.
I've been doing this a long time, brother.
But you heard the difference?
Yes.
All right. Fine.
I mean, see, listen, you got into this, what, last year, 2 years ago? I've been doing this since 1991, 92,
I was
son.
Just busting your chops that you know the difference about a mic condom or not.
Hey, man, listen, I carry one in my bag.
I don't. I don't know anything about anything.
I'll explain some other stuff for
you.
You
know
later.
What Landfill explained to me today?
What?
I had no idea. I had heard of Macedonia, the country. They're playing the Ukraine in soccer right now. Mm-hmm. Now, all of a sudden, they're North Macedonia. Yeah. And so I asked him, is there a South Macedonia? And Landfill broke down. He started talking about NATO and Greece's financial situation. There's a lot more.
Landfill is a smart guy. Ask him. I call him all times, days, nights. And
you're a caller.
Talk to him.
Yeah. I'm a texter. You're a caller.
See, that's the whole thing about people. I don't like texting because people read stuff that's not there. When I talk to you, you know exactly what the hell I'm saying. If I'm mad, you know it. If I'm not mad, you know that too. But when you text somebody, they go, well, you were sounding like this. Well, I didn't sound like a damn thing with a text.
You ready for this? This is going to get your competitive juices flowing early. It's only 10:17 a.m.
What's that?
Juan Gotu on Twitter has challenged you and I versus him and his buddy Sam, Captain's Choice at Raspberry Falls. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
$500 each.
Okay, what's their handicaps? Then I'll figure this out.
You got to provide us more money. You got to provide us more information.
Yeah, how about you send me your gin, then we will talk about it, because I don't take what you say your handicap is.
Right now, you should take what I say my handicap is.
No, I'm talking,
I'm not even performing to that.
I'm talking to the person that sends up here, calls us and say, let's do this. And like, I'm going to just say, okay.
Would you play with me for $500 on the line? That seems like a lot of money.
Well, see, that's the thing right there. I don't know if I'm going to play. I play for 50 with JP, but not 500.
Yeah, 500 seems like a lot to be
now,
counting on
since,
me.
Since JP's a 28, yes, I'll give us all his strokes. Yes, I'll play with him.
If I'm a 28, I could play for $500.
Hell yeah.
Also, somebody says that the best players at LSU wear number 7.
Is 7?
I feel like Leonard Fournette might have worn 7 down there.
Okay. So they got these. Everybody have a certain number that they play.
Syracuse does 44, I think.
Well, that's because of the great one.
Yeah, it's Jim Brown, right?
No, that was the other guy. Wasn't Jim Brown? Who was it?
Leonard Fournette wore 7.
The guy that got drafted.
Ernie Davis?
I think it was Ernie.
But I think Jim Brown, was Jim Brown after him or before him?
I thought they were that close to around the same time.
I'm almost positive Jim Brown wore 44, and that like became their thing.
What number did Ernie wear?
I'm looking it up right now. Now, Washington drafted Ernie Davis, right? And then they traded him.
I think for Bobby
Mitchell. For Bobby Mitchell, yeah. Yes, Landfill.
I have a list of some of the guys that have worn 7 at LSU, by the way.
Let's hear it.
Patrick Peterson.
He's pretty good.
He's damn good.
Tyrann Mathieu.
He might be my favorite defensive player in football.
The Honey Badger?
I love watching that dude.
Leonard Fournette.
Yes.
Yeah, I say he's good.
What did Joe Burrow wear?
I think he was 9.
I think he was.
Number 44, Ernie Davis.
DJ Chark. Wore number 7, as did Grant Delpit, and I think Derek, I'm not sure if it's Singly or Stingley Jr. is wearing it this year. He's really good. Stingley.
All right. Number 7 at LSU is a big deal. Number 44 at Syracuse is a big deal.
Well, Jim Brown, he's a little older than Ernie.
Okay, so he started it?
Probably so, yeah.
I mean, that dude, you think...
Well, think about that. Syracuse had Ernie and Jim.
Pretty good.
That says a lot.
Pretty damn good.
Yes, indeed.
All right. When we return, let's break down the Washington football team's week 3 opponent, the Buffalo Bills. I believe just concluded their mini camp. So we'll get a real live look at what's happening in the Great White North. Next, 106.7.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What up? B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Make sure you're following along on social media. You can follow the show at B. Mitch and Finley on Twitter and Instagram. Right now, Twitter. Right now, we're going to go to the BetQL guest line. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Going to Buffalo. We're going to talk to Joe Buscaglia. Covers the Bills for The Athletic. The Washington football team takes on the Bills week three of the season. We've already covered the Chargers, their week one opponent, and the Giants, their week two opponent. Now it's week three, first road trip of the year, and we're going to Ralph Wilson Stadium. I'm sure it has a different name now, but it was called Ralph Wilson Stadium for years. Joe, thank you for joining us, man. How are you?
I'm doing great, and thanks for having me. And you guys have the starting quarterback that I covered when I first started on the beat in Buffalo, good old Ryan Fitzpatrick. So enjoy it. It surely is a journey.
Wow. What year was that?
A journey in a great way or what?
Oh, a journey in a great way because that guy is one of the most entertaining people I have ever covered in my career. It was in 2010. The guy is just very sarcastic, very full of jokes. You will get to know him. He is a very, very funny guy.
Didn't win a ton of games, though, in Buffalo.
No, he did not. But he also captured the hearts of Buffalonians because there was one specific stretch where they started off hot and they beat the Patriots for the first time in like 11 years or something like that. And it was at Ralph Wilson Stadium. It was week three of the season. They started off 3-0. Everyone was full of gas right there, and Fitzpatrick was the guy leading the whole thing. So he is revered in Buffalo.
Well, right. You have a team up there now that can actually play quarterback, receiver, your defense, and you have Lil Red. We call Sean McDermott Lil Red. If you see him, make sure you say that to him. Tell him B. Mitchell. Brian Mitchell called him Lil Red because
was he coaching when you were in Philly?
He was in Philadelphia. He was like the what you call him, the offensive
quality control
guy with Andy Reid. No, he was defensive. Yeah. And we all called him Lil Red because he had that little red hair. But that dude can coach. What are the thoughts on him up there?
Yeah, he is the best coach that they've had in quite some time. It was really apparent when he walked through the door. And established a program that and he had a very specific goal in mind for what he wanted his first year to be, and focused more on establishing culture, which is a huge buzzword throughout all of sports, and you hear it everywhere with basically every coach that walks in the door. But he was very, very serious. And the guy that you guys have, Ron Rivera, he learned a lot from. So there's a lot of carryover there. And McDermott, they did just that. They found players in 2017 that they knew wanted to be there, that would be a part of the solution. They excavated a lot of their roster that year, and they still wound up making the playoffs. You know, they backed their way into it thanks to Andy Dalton on a last-second throw to beat the Ravens, but they got into the playoffs for the first time in 17 years. And McDermott, that was one of his most impressive coaching jobs to date. So, yeah, he is someone that is very impressive from the way that he processes things, the way that he oversees things. He gets out of the way of his assistants. He lets Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator, just have full reign. He lets Heath Farwell, their special teams coordinator, just do whatever he has to do, even on defense, which is his background. You know, he entrusts Leslie Frazier, who is a really good coach in his own right, to call the plays. Even though that's McDermott's background. I mean, it's McDermott's scheme, and they kind of formulated it together, but it's Leslie's show on game day. So McDermott kind of just brings it all together. He's got a good relationship with his players. He's hard on them when he needs to be. He gives them breaks when he needs to. He's got a very good sense of awareness about him with that, and I think that's a very underrated trait for coaches.
So 2019 is kind of when the McDermott new Bills team popped, right? Like that made it to the playoffs. I think it was a wild card, 10-6 record. That was the defense leading the way. The defense was second in the NFL in points allowed. 2020, you guys get to 13-3, real Super Bowl contender, I'd say. The defense takes a pretty sizable step back, kind of middle of the pack, but the offense explodes, and Josh Allen becomes an MVP candidate. How close is this team to putting both of those things together?
Yeah, I mean, they are hoping that the defense brings it back. And they went through some injury adversity. They had one of their core run defenders last year, Star Lakuale, opt out from the season because of the pandemic. And they were really struggling in the middle of their defensive line without him on early downs. And because he's just really good at occupying blockers. But that wasn't their whole story. Like, they had a bunch of linebacker injuries. Matt Milano it was never right until way late in the season, and he's their best coverage linebacker. Tremaine Edmonds suffered a shoulder injury early on in the season, and that just never really healed until later on in the season, and he started to get better from there. So they are hopeful that the defense, especially with the pieces that they've added in Greg Rousseau and Boogie Basham in the draft to try and formulate more of a pass rush, and then hoping Ed Oliver takes a step forward, their number 9 overall pick from a couple of years ago. That's what they're hoping kind of takes into the next step, because they know that their offense is good. They've got everybody back except for John Brown. And I would argue that at this point in their careers, Emmanuel Sanders is an upgrade over John Brown right now. And they've still got Gabriel Davis, who can come in and even take a bunch of snaps from Emmanuel Sanders if he earns it. He's an impressive young guy. So they've got all of these different elements working. Is the offense going to regress a little bit this year? Probably, just because they were so stinking good last year. But I still think they're going to be a really explosive passing offense. They know what they're good at. They've got a creative offensive coordinator in Brian Daboll. So if that defense can, you know, get to, you know, let's say a top 12 unit, let's not even top 5. They get to a top 12 unit, and the offense is top 5. I mean, that's one of the best teams in the NFL right there.
Well, you have your quarterback, and you need to have a quarterback in the NFL to Absolutely. Do some good things, and you have a damn good one, and he took a major step last year. What's the expectation for him in this year coming up?
Yeah, a lot of the same, and I think this is going to be a challenging year for him, because last year was such a season where he was able to fine tune all of these different things from a mechanic standpoint and processing. He really took a step forward in processing and being able to read the field, be comfortable in the pocket, not panicking like that. That was such a huge step forward for him, but so was his mechanics. And he spent the entire pandemic, when they were away from facilities, working on that and trying to fine tune that. Now, not going back to old habits where maybe he opens up his hip a little bit too much, or maybe he dips his shoulder a little bit too much on deep ball. That's going to be the biggest difficulty this year, to kind of keep his A game and keep himself sharp. But he knows that. He's like McDermott, he is also extremely self-aware about those things. And I don't know that he's the type to really rest on his laurels. So the expectations are, from a fan perspective, that they just continue to do a lot of the same. I mean, Stephon Diggs is back. Cole Beasley is back. Like I said, Sanders is in there. They've got Gabe Davis as well. Their offensive line is back in full. So they're a good pass blocking unit last year. So they're of the belief that they should pick up where they left off. Maybe, like I said, maybe a little bit of regression, but not a whole lot.
How is it covering Steph Diggs? I mean, he's a local guy to us down here, grew up here, Went to Maryland. There's a million Washington football team fans that wish they traded for him instead of the Bills. he's turning into that elite receiver, maybe all pro, top five in the league type player.
Oh, like when they traded for him, one of the first pieces I did was I went back and watched every single snap of his from the previous year. And you could just see, even though he didn't put up the huge stats the season before, and how, you know, when they didn't throw it to him, how often he was separating, how well he was separating, and how he just really broke defenders off. Like you could tell this guy had the potential to be one of the best players in the NFL, not just best receivers, one of the best players, period. And when he was able to put it together in an offense that is creative, that utilized his skill sets with a quarterback that would put it on him, which was one of the biggest issues in Minnesota. Like Kirk Cousins didn't go to him when he was open. And I think that was part of the frustrating part for him there, because he's more of a just wants to win. Like if they're winning and he doesn't get the ball, he's cool. But like if you're not winning and he's open and he's working hard to get open and you're not getting him the ball, then, you know, it's kind of like a what are we doing here sort of thing. And, you know, I don't know that I necessarily blame him for that, because he's consistently winning against defenders. And we saw it all last year. He's almost impossible to cover in man coverage. I mean, especially on like crossers, because his footwork is just so good. The way that he speeds into his breaks and cuts out of them, like it's all there. He's in the prime of his career. They've got an absolute stud as a number one receiver, and they know it. And they're probably hoping that he doesn't ask for a new contract anytime soon. They just converted his base salary into a signing bonus to give him a bunch of money up front, maybe with a promise for later, for a later contract. But yeah, he's an A1 receiver right now.
Last question for me. I've been to Buffalo a number of times covering games, whatever, and when that place is cooking, when the Bills are good, it's one of the most fun atmospheres in the NFL. How much fun is it right now for a guy that's probably seen some pretty lean years covering the Bills? How much fun is this to be covering, you know, I imagine the Bills are up there among the top Super Bowl contenders for 2021.
Yeah, it is weird for sure, because of what I've seen. Like, for instance, I talk about my first year on the beat. That year, the Bills started 0-8.
Oh man!
it was a thing, and it's interesting because last year there were no fans in the stands until they got a few thousand for the two playoff games. So that was interesting actually seeing it live. But you know, I talked about that one New England game where Fitzpatrick came in and won, beat the Patriots for the first time in a long time. Like that was the loudest I've ever heard that stadium. And it was just rocking. And it was for a team that, you know, wasn't that great. It was back in 2011 and, you know, just kind of plucky underdogs and people were, and that was right after the year that they started 0-8. Mm-hmm. So if they're loud for that, then I can't even imagine what this coming year is going to be. So it's there's a lot of high hopes in Buffalo. The word Super Bowl was kind of like Voldemort for a while here in Buffalo. Like people just didn't want to say it because they were afraid that the boogeyman would come get them. There was too high of expectations, but people are, it's in their lexicon now. Like people are thinking big this year, and they're probably right to. And anything less than, you know, making the playoffs and winning some games and you know, at least getting to the AFC Championship game will probably be a disappointment.
Well, I have a friend up there who played there, Thurman Thomas, and those old dudes are getting very, very happy about this football team, which tells me a lot.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Thurman went through some tough years with the Bills, watching them from afar. But yeah, they are for sure peaking at the right time. They've got a lot of guys in the prime of their career. They basically brought back their entire roster this year. So we'll see.
Is it a home opener?
Yes, against Pittsburgh.
Oh, that place will be electric. Is that prime time? That seems like it should be.
I can't remember off the top of my head, but yeah, it's Pittsburgh.
I can't wait to get up there week three. I've watched a ton of bad football as a reporter covering the Washington football team for what seems like an eternity. So let's hope, you know, it's kind of Ron Rivera's protege is doing it in Buffalo. Let's hope Ron can do it here, and we have a big old matchup on our hands week three when the Washington football team comes to Buffalo. Joe, thank you so much for your time, man. Really appreciate it.
Sounds great, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. We'll do it again when we get to week three. That was Joe Buscaglia from The Athletic, covers the Buffalo Bills. You know, the Bills are a team I can root for because they're different division, all that stuff, and they're fun to watch.
And their fans are crazy.
Crazy. Another guy I can root for is Paul Henry. You've heard talk about Paul Henry doing his windows at his mansion out in Virginia, and I said, my wife's bugging me about windows. The ones in my basement basically just let bugs in. They're almost made out of cardboard. They're from 1950. So I said, you know what? I got to call Paul. Called Paul Henry. He came out to the house. He didn't send a sales guy. He didn't send somebody that works for him. Actually, Paul Henry came out to my house, measured everything. We worked out a deal. I'm getting new windows with Paul Henry. You should do the exact same thing. And I wouldn't wait either. Call them this month to receive $120 off per Softlight window and Marvin windows with a 5-window minimum and 10% off Provia doors. I'm getting the doors. I'm getting 3 of them. I got these old janky doors. I'm going to have new sweet Provia doors. Call Paul Henry's window installation today. PaulHenry'sWindows.com. Your clear home improvement choice.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Lust for life. That's what we have. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. If you missed our interview with Joe Buscaglia, covers the Buffalo Bills for The Athletic, get on that Odyssey app and hit rewind. Listen to that. That's Washington football team's opponent week 3. We've now gone through the first 3 weeks. Do you think we're going to go through all 17? You're damn right we're going through all 17. Right now, though, Ron Rivera, Washington football team head coach, had an interview with Ben Standing from The Athletic. And it's a good interview. You should go check it out. Standing Room Only is his podcast. But one clip I think stands out a bit more. We're all talking about the quarterbacks and if there's a real competition and who's included. Let's see what the head coach thinks about his QB room.
First and foremost, the most obvious person we're going to look at is going to be our quarterback position. And there's two people that we're going to be watching closely, and both Ryan and Taylor are two guys that are very valuable, very important to us going forward. So we'll be watching both those guys and watching their progress very, very closely. I think it's going to be a very competitive battle. I think both guys, you know, want to be the guy, and that's going to be important to us as we go forward.
All right.
Can we hear it one more time?
Because yeah, I didn't hear Kyle Allen.
Certainly no Kyle. He did say later in the interview that there's a spot for Kyle Allen, that they need him in the QB room.
The thing I notice about Ron, when he speaks like that, he always comes back to make sure the other person isn't left out.
Yeah.
Which, to me, further tells me the other person is left out.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When your first notion, when your first comment comes out, you don't mention him, normally you're not thinking about him.
I agree with that. Yeah. Let's hear that one more time, though, because there's a lot to kind of take in here.
First and foremost, the most obvious person we're going to look at is going to be our quarterback position. And there's two people that we're going to be watching closely. And both Ryan and Taylor are two guys that are very valuable, very important to us going forward. So we'll be watching both those guys and watching their progress very, very closely. I think it's going to be a very competitive battle. I think both guys, you know, want to be the guy. And that's going to be important to us as we go forward.
So here's the question.
Mm-hmm.
Is it actually a battle? And here's my question, and I'll go to the phones on this because I'm curious what people think. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067, Gambit DC listener lines, bet, play, win with Gambit DC, brought to you by the DC Lottery. B. Mitch, it's not a battle to me until Heinicke gets reps with the first team.
I'll agree with you.
Because what I saw in minicamp and what, you know, you've read from lots of folks, heard from lots of folks, you know, the Washington media corps that was out there at minicamp, Heinicke outproduced Fitzpatrick.
Mm-hmm.
But Fitzpatrick's also going against the first team defense, and Heinicke's going against the second team defense.
True.
And the receivers are kind of rotating all the time. So it's not like Heinicke's only getting the throw to Isaiah Wright and Steve Sims, De'Ami Brown, John Bates, Logan Thomas. You know, all the skill position players are out there in kind of a rotational basis anyway. Yeah. Now, I don't know that Terry McLaurin's getting reps when Heinicke's on the field, but Adam Humphries is. You know, the other guys are. And just from a bigger picture, it's not a real battle until Heinicke actually gets some run with the ones.
Yeah, I mean, the battle is when we both are getting the same work with the same people. And then that's when I can see it as a fair, legitimate battle. But ultimately, I really believe that they're looking at this. Right now, is Ryan Fitzpatrick the starter? Heinicke's your backup. Okay? Now, if they start having a battle and Heinicke steps it up, I can see it switching. But ultimately, for me, he's going to have to prove that he can stay healthy. Because right now we're watching the NBA playoffs, and we see a lot of people hurt. And other guys are stepping up and showing they're available, they're accessible. And I think that's been the issue for Heinicke throughout his career. And that is, you know, people don't like to discuss the injury aspect of things. But if you're not out there healthy consistently, then how the hell am I going to be able to depend on you?
And it's probably worth pointing out, to that point, he had to get stitches during a walkthrough.
Like right now. Like, you know, when I know what the media was saying and how they felt, but my whole thing, when I hear people talk about this right now, they're not dressed like they play. They're in shorts, shirts, not full gear. When you get in full gear and you start getting touched, then I judge you.
Well, and
I don't judge you when you're out there in T-shirt and panties, as I call it.
And the QBs still don't get touched.
They don't get touched in, but they get touched on the weekend.
And there's going to be preseason.
Yeah.
And a guy like Taylor Heinicke is going to play in the preseason
for sure.
And I can't wait to watch
it.
Watching him play, it's a vibe.
He's exciting.
He's exciting.
And see, this is what I'm picking up too. When Ron speaks on those two guys, the one thing that we raved about last year with Taylor was the fact that he's very intelligent.
Absolutely.
And learned everything. We've all seen Ryan Fitzpatrick go from team to team to team, and he instantly picks it up. Okay? He's a very intelligent guy. Hell, he went to Harvard. So you don't get to Harvard by being stupid.
No.
Okay? You might fool some other university. You don't fool Harvard. So he's saying, I have guys who can basically learn this stuff and be coaches on the field for me. Now it's going to come down to the athletic play. And as much as Taylor said, well, I was trying. No. He's still trying to get lock on as the guy, which means if you're a competitor, you can't stop that little lion inside of you from wanting to come out.
Here's what I'm going to do. The phone lines are lighting up. We got Ron Rivera talking about quarterback competition, and we've got Louis Riddick of ESPN, who used to work in the Washington football team front office. I imagine you know him, B. Mitch.
Yeah.
Louis Riddick had some really strong comments about what he believes the Washington football team can be in 2021. We're going to play that next and take your calls. 106.7 The Fan.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.